wisdom, how to walk wisely in godly counsel. I'm not about to talk about that. I'm just telling you that God's plan is for you. And you have to trust God's plan. 2 weeks ago, I planned to come here and talk about evangelism. And because that has been the theme of our church and our goal this year of 2018 is evangelism. And one of the reasons why we created Kaya, which is Come As You Are, that meets every other Monday, well, meets every Monday once a month, is to bring the community together in a young adult Bible study. And I'm so pleased to announce, I don't know if Jet is here, you might want to stand and raise your hand, but we've got our first fruit from Kaya. 2 weeks ago, Jet Whitney joined our church, and she started attending Kaya, and I thank God for that fruit and that witness and being obedient. You know, sometimes you just got to be obedient and not question what God has told you to do, even when you think it is not working out for you, even when others question, but you are clear of the assignment that God has given you. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, I had planned to come here and talk about evangelism and give you some information about evangelism, but the Holy Spirit shifted this atmosphere. We're so blessed by God to have Elder Erica Lakin as our minister of music. And, wherever she go, I go. Wherever she leads, I follow. Because I trust her Holy Ghost. Amen. I wish I had enough time. You can't trust everybody's Holy Ghost. Amen. Can I get a witness? You just can't trust everybody's Holy Ghost. But I trust her Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost did what the Holy Ghost needed to do. She talked about release. And there was going to be a release in someone's life that week. She didn't know where it was, whether it was going to be financial, whether it was going to be medical. But there was going to be a release that week. And I don't know if you remember, 2 weeks ago, I left this altar and went to lay the hands on one of our members who my wife had told me cancer had come back. And I just felt the Spirit of the Lord saying, go lay hands. I went and laid hands on her while Ron was praying. And I did not know then that she had a biopsy that next day. You got to be obedient to what you hear in your spirit. And that Monday afternoon, I received one of the greatest texts of my life. When she said, Pastor, they did the scan again. And the tumor was not even there. And so there was no need for biopsy. I have no power. Boutte think I got power in my hands, but I don't have any power in my hands. I just know the one who has all power. And I'm not perfect because you ain't perfect. I ain't perfect because you ain't perfect. But I try to the best of my ability to be obedient and do what he has asked me to do. You ain't got to be perfect. You just got to be faithful. Because none of us can be perfect. But we have to be faithful to the calling that God has placed on our life. And even when God calls you to step out of your tradition, step out of your comfort zone, step out of the ways you think to do things, you've got to do what God says do. And if God is in it, the fruit will speak for itself. Amen? And so I left. I will be honest with you. As a Baptist preacher, as an old school Baptist preacher, I left here hoping I did the right thing because I didn't preach. I didn't lift a text. I know somebody's going to call Reverend Jackson and tell on me. But after getting that text, I got confirmation.
that what we did two Sundays ago, which was different than any Sunday ever, I think, in the life history of this church, was done by the unction of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know if you read the notes or not, but good. If you didn't read them, fine. If you did read them, fine, because I got them for you right now. Amen. So just give me about 10 minutes, because I don't want to bore you, but just give me about 10 minutes, and let me go over what you should have read. Amen. Turn to John chapter 20. Turn to John chapter 20. Verses 1 through 4. Should be the first slide of the PowerPoint. If you ever get called to preach, and if you ever stand before God's preacher, always first before you do anything, make sure that the scripture you wrote down is the one that's in the Bible. Just a note to the wise. Every now and then, if you ever get called a preacher, you preach. Make sure the one you got written down is the one that's in the Bible. Ain't nothing worse than say, turn to Matthew 21. And when the math people turn to Matthew 21, you got Proverbs written down. Amen. So every now and then, I just check myself. Amen. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. You'll see verse 2 says that she runneth. You'll see verse 4, they ran both together. And verse 2, you see, she runneth. Verse 4, you see, they ran both together. If I had preached this sermon 2 weeks ago, I was going to talk about running for Jesus. Running for Jesus. Again, God told me in 2017, you can keep going through the slides, that our mission for 2018 was evangelism. Evangelism is the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ for the intent purpose of saving souls and adding believers to the body of Christ. It is performed through the work of evangelists, either preachers or laymen who spread the good news as commanded by Jesus. Now, the word evangelism is not mentioned in the Bible like we think of evangelism. Only the term evangelist is one who spreads the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's one of the titles like teacher, preacher, elder, bishop. And the other one is evangelist. It is one who spreads the gospel of Jesus Christ. You don't have to have a licensing service, an ordination certificate. Nobody has to lay hands on you. You don't have to be up here behind this pulpit or have a mic set that makes you look like Janet Jackson. You just got to have a story and a testimony of what God has done in your life. And believing what God has done in your life, he can do it in somebody else's life. Mark 16:15, which has been our theme scripture for the year, is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. That he was born, that he died, and that he's coming back. That is the good news, that he was born in Bethlehem, that he died on Calvary, and that he's coming back to receive us to himself. Don't forget that third part, that he is coming back. If you believe that he was born, see if these people believe. If you believe that he was born, if you believe that he died, you've then got to also believe that he's coming back. And the only way back is through him and his Father. For no man cometh back unto the Father but by him. And that is the gospel message that we have to spread, is that he is coming back.
best be ready for when he comes. It is early on the first day of the week after Jesus has died. It is early Sunday morning. So early that the dew is still on the roses. It is so early that Tom Joyner ain't come on yet. It is early before you got out your little Keurig cup and started your coffee. It is early before any bacon started sizzling, any orange juice started chilling, any grit started popping. It is early on that first Sunday morning. A woman by the name of Mary, who we call Mary Magdalene because she's from the city of Magdala, goes with her cousin early that first Easter morning. Now, some of the texts say she goes to anoint his body. But we know that's not possible because they had seen that big boulder rolled in front of his sepulcher, rolled in front of his tomb. And I just don't think those two petite ladies, after they saw these 10 soldiers put the boulder in front, actually thought that they could go into the sepulcher and move it so they could anoint his body. But the Bible also teaches us if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, be moved. See, what happens is if you have faith, the mountain's already moved before you get to the mountain. And so they get to the sepulcher, and the stone has already been rolled away. And if you looked at your notes, I declare unto you, it was the worst day when he died, but early that Sunday morning, something glorious happened. And at that day, some serious running happened. It's early. Sun has not yet broke. It's dark. She goes, Tally, to a cemetery in the dark to visit a man who had just been buried the night before, or two nights earlier. She goes to lay roses and flowers on her loved one's grave. She gets to a cemetery dead at night, and the grave is open. Ain't no casket in there. Ain't no vault. All the flowers that we had laid at the funeral are gone. And ain't nobody in there. At a cemetery. In the dark. Not only would you run, but me, who and my dad, who owned the cemetery, I don't own it yet. It's still in his name, but it's going to be mine one day. But that's what the Bible said. You got to leave it to your child. Amen. Follow the word. Be obedient. You will start running too. Ain't nobody want to be a witness up in here. She runs. And she goes and finds Peter and John. And she comes back and says, they have stolen our Savior. And not only does she run, but the Bible says they start running. Now, JB, you one of us now too. One thing about the African-American community and African-American culture, that if we see one person run, we don't ask no questions. We don't need to see the gun. We don't need to know where to fight at. We don't need to hear fire. But if we see one person run, what? We all running. And that's what happens. All of them start running for Jesus. Now, they all start running, but they're running for different reasons. I declare unto you that she runs that first morning because she's afraid. First, here she is, a woman in first century Palestine. She ain't supposed to be out at night. That's first century Palestine. She is afraid. She's afraid, and she goes and gets the boys because she knows this first century Palestine now. As a woman, she shouldn't be out that late at night, which is still good wisdom for 2018. Don't tell nobody I said that. That's still good wisdom for 2018, and got a witness in the building. She runs because she is afraid. Next slide. She runs because she is afraid. She's afraid because, again, she's at a cemetery at dark. The grave is open. She don't know what has happened to her Savior. And she also knows that there's a rumor that they're trying to kill all his friends. So for her own protection, she goes to get Peter
and John, but also she also knows she needs a witness as well. Because if she told everybody that he's alive, nobody would have believed her. So she goes and gets Peter and John, and the Bible says they run. She runs because she is also amazed. She's amazed because, listen what the scriptures say. Matthew 27 says that we remember that while he was still alive, that the deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise again. So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the other first. She heard them say that he has declared in 3 days that he will get up. And every now and then you might hear something weird and strange in your spirit. And when it happens, you just stand in amazement. Matthew goes on to say, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. What an amazing story. And I declare unto you, everybody here and everybody who's watching, everybody has an amazing story. You might not think it's that amazing because it ain't made the front news, but your story is amazing. I know we don't touch our neighbors, so slap somebody and say, my story is amazing. Lord, somebody took that too literal. Let me not say that again. Everybody in here has an amazing story. And your story is worth you telling somebody besides your kids. It is worth you telling your story to somebody more than just your family. You have an amazing story of how far God has brought you. And it's up to us to be a witness for our Lord and tell others about your amazing story. But then I'm also sure that their mother too, Erica, they ran because they were ashamed. I'm pretty sure Peter and John ran because they are ashamed. Remember, Peter's the one who was his best friend. The captain of the 12. The one who should have been the leader. The one who should have spoke at the funeral. But he was nowhere to be found. The one who denied him like we do all the time. And I ain't got enough time because I told you I'm going to give you the cliff notes. But we deny him all the time. When you don't tithe, you deny him. When you don't show up because you ain't think you got nothing to wear, you deny. When it's raining outside, you don't want to get your hair. Just take it off, put on another piece. We deny. Woke your butt up, didn't I? Woke you up. We deny him. And so he is ashamed that he has denied his Savior, and the one who should have been the number one believer didn't show up to the funeral. Wasn't the pallbearer tally. Wasn't on program to give remarks. Wasn't even a character witness at the trial. So he's ashamed. John ashamed too, because, you know, John was there for the beginning. He took Mary to the funeral. But he didn't go to the cemetery. He didn't show up at the repast. He left. Because, again, there was a thread of rumor that they were looking for all 12. Now, of course, one had already committed suicide, so they didn't have to have no rope for him. But they are ashamed because they have denied their Savior. I hope you leave with a few little facts and nuggets of wisdom today, but never be ashamed to let somebody know that you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't care where you might find yourself. Never be ashamed. If you had to cook out with the three coolers, you in that third one. Whenever you in the cookout with the three coolers, don't be ashamed.
If you don't drink, you just don't drink. All right? Don't be ashamed. But if you do, put it in a white cup so nobody knows what you're drinking. Look at all these witnesses from our Lord. So they run because they are ashamed. But then finally, I hope you got the Holy Ghost on this. I love this part. She waits because she is anointed. She's afraid. She's amazed. They are ashamed. But she waits because she is anointed. The word anointed means to be chosen by or as if by divine election. John 20:11 says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb." She runs to get him. They run back. The two boys look into the tomb. They run away. Look at the brothers. They run. See, he ain't there. They run away. She stays. Somebody's going to pick this up in a moment. They run. They run back. She stays. She stays and she tarries because she's anointed. She doesn't know it yet, like David didn't know it when he was a little boy, but she had been anointed by God to receive the great revelation. And this thing has blessed me because I learned this week and over the 2 weeks been tearing on this thing that everybody ain't been called to be an evangelist. You know, I told y'all to give out these things and go knock on people's door like Jehovah's Witnesses. I bet you if I go look at half your cars, they're still in there on your counter. Because everybody really ain't been called to be an evangelist because a lot of us are scared, afraid, and ashamed to let other people know that you're saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because you realize if people know you're saved, you got to act a certain way. You feel with the Holy Ghost, you can't drink out the third cooler. And so you don't want nobody to know that you're all the way there so you can, you know, go in and you can go out. So everybody ain't really called to be an evangelist because it takes conviction. And you can't be scared, Boutte, to let people know where you go to church and that you love Jesus. So I'm delivered from that. But there are a few of us who don't mind telling the story and letting the world know that Jesus still lives, that the wages of sin are still death, but the gift of God is the Holy Ghost. But the word says that if you deny me before men, you risk of him denying you before his Father. I need a few more folk to be evangelists for Jesus. Jesus needs a few more folk to be evangelists for Jesus. He says, don't be ashamed, but go instead into the city and tell my brethren that I have ascended from my Father and your Father to my God and your God. And then the next text says, she went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that they had seen these things unto her. And then Jesus walks through a closed door. Disciples are hidden in this room because they're scared. They're closet Christians. There used to be a time when people who lived in alternative lifestyle, we said they were in the closet. Well, these Christians are in the closet. Like a whole lot of y'all in the closet. Y'all come out on Sunday morning. But soon as power come on, watch my mouth. What's power? Come over to my house at 8 o'clock. Pray for me. Paul said, you come over to his house too. Some scenes we just got fast forward. But there's some of us who are in the closet with our faith. in the closet with our evangelism, in the closet with our testimonies, in the closet with what we believe in. But I need you to get out the closet. I need you to be a little bit stronger in your faith, because we're living in some end times, some perilous times. And you need to understand that a saved neighbor is a safe neighbor. And that you do better off knowing that your neighbor, your co-worker, and your supervisor, and your owner, your boss, your daddy is saved. So I have a few questions. If you read them, I hope you did. I have a few questions. Will you commit yourself today to doing the work of Jesus Christ? For the work of Jesus Christ and of every disciple, which is a follower of Jesus Christ, is again found in Mark 16 through 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Don't get caught up again on this word preach and having to, because you don't have to be a preacher. You just have to be a believer. You don't have to be a preacher. You have to be a believer. And you should be a believer. I assume because you came here this morning that you are a believer. And if you're not yet a believer, I'm going to extend the opportunity to you at the end of this service for you to acknowledge that you now are a believer. You should believe that everyone needs salvation. You should believe that everyone has the right to go to heaven. You should believe that no one should perish in hell. You should believe that your life will be better if you serve Jesus. You should believe that the cause of righteousness is worth the pain. You should believe that he is preparing a place for us now. You should believe that he is coming back to receive us unto himself. And you should believe that it pays to serve God. You know, before you sell your stocks, before you hand them down to your second son, every now and then you get what's called a dividend. Before you sell them and divest yourself of them, before they're all gone, every now and then you get something called a dividend, which is a little check in the mail that says, thank you for investing in our company. And I declare unto you that when you invest in Jesus, every day of your life, you get a little check in your spirit, a little dividend that says, thank you for serving me. Thank you for investing in me. Thank you for giving your life to me. Thank you for claiming me in a world that has turned its back on me. So I invite you today to invest in Jesus. Give of your service. Give of your time. Give of your talents. Give of your tithe. And let this world know that he's coming back. If you are a believer, clap your hands. Stand on your feet. And let's give God glory and praise for what he's done.
If there's someone who wants to